In the fall, after we get our PEAKS results back and our AP exam results, and then after our fall MAP round, so we'll give you another update then.
Are teachers able to see individual students? Okay, because I'm thinking like as kids progress that are struggling from that, and also their own teacher explaining, yes, they've been struggling all year, as they move into the next grade, that new teacher is...
Yes.
Up to speed on not only the struggles from the regular academic school year, but you can see in testing that they're already struggling.
Yes, and that's one of the benefits that we do like about this assessment versus a full summative like PEAKS, mm-hmm. because it's meant to be used to target instruction, and that is the goal of it, is to be able to provide teachers and kids and parents, you know, information about what are areas to target, what are areas that they have strengths in that we're like, yay, and then what are areas we need to build up. So I think that kind of goes to what Jay's saying too. Yeah.
So what other testings do we do? MAPS, PEAKS.
It's
those two.
We test ACT in the 10th grade. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
11th
grade, pre-ACT, 10th grade.
Yeah.
And science, the science test in 5th. 8th and 10th
yep.
grade.
Yep. But that's part of PEAKS.
That's part of PEAKS.
Yes.
Okay.
That's part of PEAKS, yeah. It's PEAKS is math and language arts or English language arts.
What about the international
AP,
test?
ACT, MAP, MAP fluency MAP.
Okay, and so MAPS and PEAKS were required to do that, right? By the state?
PEAKS are required by the state, and MAP is what has been recommended for us to be able to use it actually for targeting instruction and helping, like we're talking about, kids be able to look at their own growth, monitor their own growth, parents to be able to have an idea of what that looks like, and then for teachers to have specific areas to actually, you know, target and focus on so we can provide the interventions and supports that they need. Yeah. And there is still a move. You know, everything kind of got stalled last year, but you remember we did talk a little bit about this, that the state has been looking at, because most districts, like 90% of the districts in the state, use MAP. They have put out an RFP for that to try to have it for NWEA or whatever testing company would put out a proposal to be able to use more of an assessment like MAP, because people are already using that. So how, you know, could you use it to better the instruction within the school setting, and then also to be able to utilize that information as the actual state required test, so that it's not one more. Yes. Yeah. So that's still on the books, and I think they're making progress on it. I don't know. I'll find out more in July.
They are.
Meetings too. So yeah.
That's what we know.
Gonna have to rein in some attendance things next year.
Yeah.
More consistency. I think everybody really was just like, everything's opening up, and just feeling this sense of freedom. And I really think that's exactly what happened this spring. And we understand it on a personal level, but at school we're like, hello, we need to hear.
Yeah, there was a lot of fatigue.
Yeah. Yep. I think so.
I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks, Bridget.
Any other questions or comments? No? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Bridget.
Okay, we'll move on to 15.5, our school handbooks, with some updates and seem pretty minor edits, but still needed. These, as a reminder to the public, board policies require readings and voting. The handbooks are the administrative regulations based on our board policies, so those can get changed when needed, but we try and review them in the spring so that, or in June, so that they're ready for school in the fall.
Have any changes?
I've never done this.
We missed this part last year, you guys.
That's right.
We were sitting in the sunshine all summer last year in June.
That's right.
I have made minor changes. I've tried to take the Smart Start plan and put pieces inside the handbook, so I won't have to use two guides at once. This is it. This is the handbook. So protocols that we had in place at the end of the year are in here currently for the beginning of next year. I think that is the only major change, besides its alphabetical order, and it was really hard to put masking under health services, which is an H, and then you have masking under an M, so I had to get creative. So if you see anything in there that you I'm taking ideas. That really bothered me. You'll see the daily screening, symptom-free school, and masking under health services, and then you'll see little pieces, I think, throughout. I can't think of another one right off the top of my head. Travel policy, the attendance, absences, and the travel policy is also in there.
Yeah. Do you have anywhere you want me to go?
I don't think so. I think that is, just little edits and tweaks here and there. Oh, there's another highlight.
PBIS?
Yeah, that's the PBIS. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so just clarification on that one. Yeah, I don't know if there was anything. I had any questions on. Did anybody else have any questions or comments?
Yeah. So by putting masking in there, are you putting in the handbook that masks are going to be required for next year?
I put in that we're masking on the move because I didn't know what we were doing, but that's how we ended the school year, so that's what I put in there. Yeah, good question.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's probably very possible that things will look different between the schools based on a lot of things.
I've been really trying to go to, I just blew up all their emails, just go to different places, different school districts, different, just to see what they're doing and what's the reasoning behind what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So that's my 5 a.m. project.
Yeah. Okay.
And we do have a meeting tomorrow. I'll talk more about that on the next section, but having a conversation with our medical advisors here locally, and then we'll see where things evolve over the summer.
I guess one thing that I would say aloud is school starts at 8, not 8:15. So if they don't come through the class or the doors with their class, then they're marked tardy. And so we've had numerous tardies, 14, 15 every trimester, by some students where we're calling and trying to figure out how we're going to get them to school on time.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
That's it.
Okay.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay. We'll move on to the high school handbook, because that's what the chronological order. We're going to be doing mid-cup articles.
They're bright blue, Mara, when you see the highlights there.
Are we at middle school or high school?
High school, please.
Okay.
Just because I saw it come up.
That's what happened.
And A for attendance will come up early, and as the superintendent said, we're going back to what it's been. There are actually not a lot of large changes, but when kids come to school, it won't come on time. You can see the first note there is just letting them know we are not offering remote learning option next year, with the exception of, I've used the term teacher requested. There could be a time if there were a lengthy illness or something, because we do have this capability. That could be it, but we may see it for a school sponsor trip. Maybe the baseball team's up and they have to travel early and they're there Friday and they decide to zoom into physics class or something. That would be because we control that environment with the school being school sponsored. But besides that, if students are hoping to be partially at home, partially here, that is not an option for the secondary schools next year. And that is very much unanimous from the staff. And it's just based on it made sense for this year. I'm really proud of the work. Our teachers said they worked really hard to make that happen. And a lot of students and parents did the same. But it was not an effective instructional method. Learning was definitely decreased for students that were home. And again, this is the year we've made the best of it. That's okay. there's a small note there where I wrote e-learning possibility, and the superintendent and I talked, and I spoke with Mrs. Fry. We purchase a system, a learning system that we use for credit recovery. We only have, I want to say, 10 seats. It's fairly expensive. We use Apex. It's traditionally Odysseyware, so we've heard Odysseyware in our district. We've been using that for many years, and that is a kind of a school within a school, and that's what a lot of kind of homeschool programs use, these accredited programs where you can sign up and take Algebra 1 on there, and it kind of runs through a self-paced line. We have staff that manage those. Again, Mrs. Fry runs that traditionally through for credit recovery in the PILP. If we did have students that said, well, you know, we just want to be at home, but we want to be part of Petersburg School District, there's a possibility of using our APEX system and having that managed by staff. We haven't heard anyone come forward and say that's a concern, but I think that's something we could talk about. We do not allow students to come to school and take classes and say, you know what, I think that Mr. Engel's not that good of a teacher, I want to use APEX for social studies, or, you know, I prefer that. We don't do that because we know they're going to get a better learning experience with our highly qualified teachers. And forgive Mr. Engel, you were just an example, you're a great teacher. But we do allow it if kids say, well, I want to take psychology, or ooh, I'm terrible on biology, and I failed, and then I need to do a credit recovery. That's what we use it for. Cheryl, I missed something there. I'm sorry. This isn't in that copy I gave you.
No.
Is that what you're saying? I apologize for that. I continue to kind of keep working on it.
That's why I was like, I don't see it. I remember looking at it.
Yeah.
Just some cleanups there on the makeup work and the out of school. Just recognize that students, there's kind of an old tradition that I think in the old days, if you know, Sarah missed a week of high school for a ECADECA event or something like that, that she had a week to make things up in the old days. Well, now with our technology and stuff, that isn't always the case, but it is important that it's clearly communicated, and the trip slip is one of those ways. And then just students emailing or checking in, hey, I'm back, you know, what do I need to do, Mrs. Ward, to get caught up in physics? Just checking in with teachers and with technology and everything. Maybe it is a week, or maybe it's only 3 days to get through stuff, but setting those deadlines so when kids do miss school, which happens to everybody, whether they're sick or they go on a great trip or whatever, that they communicate with teachers. That's what those clarifications are. Any questions on attendance, just because I know it's kind of a hot topic? Okay. Go ahead and scroll, please, Mara. Thank you. Feel great. And it was just some language about class meetings that it wasn't current anymore. I just took it out. We have class meetings and advisory groups throughout the year, but Mr. Grau, are you going to talk about the stuff when you come up later, or do you want to talk about now? Just all the, this is the grade requirements, the changes.
Yeah.
He'll cover this, yep. So I just am staying in line with that. And staff, this is a staff discussion that determined this. Mr. Grau, who wrote it down very nicely, so I stole his writing. This is what we just discussed, that students graduating from a non-district-sponsored homeschool program are not eligible to participate in the graduation ceremony. And then in order to participate, a student must be enrolled as a full-time student in Petersburg School District. And we left that because that can be, there's a full-time definition by ASA. Financially, if we look at that, that is four classes. A student must take four classes, and they're considered a full-time student by the state, and we get full funding. So four out of seven is considered full-time.
I don't think we had full-time in the board policy.
I think we took full-time out on Friday.
Yeah.
At the work session. Did we take full-time out?
I think we did.
Yeah.
I was thinking we wanted the handbook as an AR. Do you want me to take it out and leave it just in?
I think it was a Petersburg student.
I just enrolled as a student.
Yeah, I think there was some question about like if it was a senior. Remember this discussion about the senior, if it was a senior had like most of their credits were completed, like even in the fall, and they were doing one class, maybe a co-op, or something like that. So it might not end up being the four.
Might have had a full four.
Yeah. Wasn't that the conversation? I feel like.
Cool.
I think so.
Yeah, I saw that was different VP, but
yeah.
Enrolled as a student in the Petersburg District. Thank you.
Get it right, Rick. Goodness.
No changes.
That's it for the high school. That is it for the high school.
Mm-hmm. Is it for the high school?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks, Mark. Glass on again already.
Watching new glasses.
Yeah, middle school is hardly anything.
So that was it for high school?
That was it for high school.
Okay, I was thinking I didn't remember saying any more blue.
Yeah. And at NYOs is a list of our middle school sports. Woo!
Yeah.
Bummer.
championships to defend.
And they gave the Super Bowl from the state. The state did a nice job. That's some cool stuff.
It was really
those
cool.
Those beanies and sweatshirts and good-looking stuff.
Amazing.
I was starting to wish
what
I
what a great year to get that blasted off this year. It's so cool.
It was fantastic.
I think it really took off across the state.
There was just this language in there about sexual harassment. I think this was a previous administrator, and it was just weird. I just took it out. It's defined in our policy, but it was weird being in a middle school handbook. So, student fees updated because we have been working with Mr. Painter. Obviously, we have all these Chromebooks from middle school. They turn them all in, but we really are looking and believe there's a really good chance that we will allow middle school students the option of checking out a Chromebook and having that at home. I know that a lot of families have laptops at home, but I know in our, it was great for my son, I know, to have his own kind of personal Chromebook. And plus, it's really nice. You start teaching those behaviors when they get their powerful, MacBook like Kinley's got on with a little less, because those Chromebooks, are really more locked down and they're not as expensive. So it's a nice kind of like, I don't want to call them training wheels because middle school kids are past that, but
It's a weird thing on there. Does it look like that on yours?
I don't think so. No, it doesn't look like that. Mine just has to come through. If I double check, that might be it for middle school.
I think that's it.
That's it. I'll see you.
Cool.
How are you? Nice program.
Page 5. The first one.
Ooh, that's in yellow.
It's bright. Put your sunglasses.
Whoa.
See, told you. All right, this is updating our grade check language for what we're going to do for students involved in extracurricular activities. What we did this year was every Tuesday, because of the way their schedule worked out and how critical it was to get a grade check on kids because of that semester class that was basically a year in a semester, making sure that those kids earn that credit. Because there is a credit rule that we go over during meeting with all the teams that every student needs to pass 2.5 units of credit per semester to be eligible for any activity. So if they fall, if you have a freshman, sophomore, junior, and they do not pass 2.5 credits in that semester, they are ineligible for any activity for the entire next semester until they pass 2.5 credits. So that's one thing that Ms. Turner and I make sure, and Mr. Dorman, that these kids are enrolled in the classes that they need. So say you had a senior who had all their credits and they only needed one credit, they still need to be enrolled in 2 credits to be eligible to participate in activities. So they can't just come for a 0.5 credit and then take the rest of the day off. They still have to be enrolled in credits to be eligible for any activity. So a lot of guidance from the teachers on this one, making sure that they have enough time to grade papers and make sure that their grades are going well. It is going to be every Tuesday. Every Tuesday. That way kids don't get kind of, they take a test on a Friday, they leave on a Friday, they come back Monday, they bomb that test on Monday, and then all of a sudden they're ineligible and had no chance to retake that test. So it gives them Monday to kind of get their grades back up, check in with their teacher. Tuesdays at 9 is when our grade checks are going to be. In Appendix 7, which is page 45,000 on this handbook, it's every grade date, every grade check date that is listed on top of there.
Awesome.
So it's every Tuesday we're going to do grade checks. If a kid is deemed ineligible with a F, a D, or an I, they're going to be ineligible for that week, and then hopefully they get their grade out for the next grade check the following Tuesday. Back in the day, which was actually quite some time ago, if you remember, we used to have the D waiver that was around, and kids would actually plan when they would use their D waiver very strategically before Regents. So they would fail everything, not be eligible, but be eligible for Regents. And so it kind of put teachers on a bind, kind of put coaches on a bind too, not having them eligible for regular season games and everything else. But this just keeps the student active with all of their student activities and all of their homework as well, and that way the coaches know. Once they're on that Tuesday grade check, if they pop up, they'll be ineligible for that week, even if we have a game. That kind of helps us with our planning too for travel, that way we're not burning tickets on Alaska Airlines and everything else. So that helps us tremendously there. But every Tuesday is what we're going to go with for next year. So that is just explaining how that's going to work and everything else. So during the summertime, if any kid was ineligible at the end of fourth quarter, they have to be eligible by the first grade check. And our students are okay for next year, so which is really good.
That is good.
Yeah, not a whole lot of students on our grade checks this year, which was really good. They stayed up on them. Pretty good. I think, any questions on that one? Laura, you can go to the tobacco alcohol drugs summary chart, page 15. On this chart, what we did was updated. Alaska School Activities Association is no longer requiring the Prime for Life counseling on their first offense. So I have moved it to the reduction. So if they would like to reduce their suspension, it is moving it to the reduction piece. They do not need to complete that Prime for Life counseling before being back eligible. They just enroll and complete. That's all it is. The TAD first offense is still a state policy. The second offense is still the state policy. So if you remember our grid that we did quite a while ago, that's our grid. The state is looking into modifying the first offense educational component. It used to be a 45-minute video. They are looking into making the student write an essay now. And so that is kind of what they're looking into, and giving them a topic. They write an essay and they submit it back to the administration here at the school. So that is just updating our the counseling piece that goes along with the reduction. So say a student gets dinged on their first one, they're 30 days out of suspension, no travel, no competition. They can practice during that time because we want that kid to still be active, just as long as they finish their online component, that educational component from ASAA. So questions on that one? Fabulous. And then the next one, Mara, is page 20. And that is keeping in the COVID-19 awareness for coaches and administrators. That is keeping that certification in there that the coaches must do those. So it is not required by Alaska Schools Activities Association. It's highly, highly recommended. We made it required for our coaches. That way they knew kind of more information about COVID for the National Federation that put out a 20-minute class. So all of our coaches are certified in that class too. So those five, on the bullet number 29, those are required for every single coach that is under contract with our school district. So they must take those five classes, and they have to stay updated. We have a really good competition on the first aid, health, and safety, because not one person has got 100% on it. It's usually like 98, and they just one. And it's a tricky, tricky question that has to do with hypothermia. And they keep changing it every year. But our volunteer coaches, which we didn't have too many of those come in this year just because we're keeping the numbers down in the gymnasium and who's working with our kids, but those are the three courses that volunteer coaches must take. And the reason why we have some volunteer coaches is some that can come every once in a while. They take those three classes, but they cannot watch our kids 100% and be kind of in charge of them unless a certified coach is there. And a full certification is with the first aid, health and safety, and the fundamentals of coaching. So those classes are quite long and very good information on that one. Questions on that one?
Also, they do put out good trainings.
And then that one, we just changed it when possible funds are available. What we were able to do was kind of update a lot of our equipment and uniform rotation with not having as many activities the last year. So we were able to really, really update a lot of the things that we had and kind of wait to see what our budget would look like for next year with activities. So it's when possible funds are available, because on these allotment years, that comes out of their travel fund as well. So we know it's coming, so we kind of beef that activity up with some funds, because we know we're going to be on a uniform rotation. And if you want to know why certain numbers are certain ways, I can definitely explain that to you. Basketball is required to have two different sets because you must be in white as a home and dark in a way, and that's a National Federation rule. Baseball, we like to make sure we get a little bit thicker ones to handle our weather and make them last, because if you go cheap, they're going to get shredded really fast, especially playing on gravel. So that's that one. Questions? Yeah, I think the next one, Nora, is way down. Page 3000. You can start it. It's going to be past 42. Yep, slowly go. 47, sorry. So this is just a grid sheet of what the school district covers on every single activity that we have in the, both the middle school and the high school. This one was just added so that there was more language within the document on state travel for all activities of what the school district covers. This year was an anomaly. What we did was come up with a flat number that each kid participated in, and then we took care of the rest. We can't live off of that just because of the cost of what it took, but because of this year, then the students not being able to fundraise as much, we didn't want to hit the community as hard with fundraising just due to the pandemic and some of, a lot of the businesses not being able to be open. So we kind of footed the bill that from the general fund because we had some funds saved up from other activities that didn't go or is not as many travel. So this year alone was just different. We won't be doing that next year. So just kind of putting that into the grid sheet. And added Native Youth Olympics in there. Usually it's going to be virtual, so we might not have to do any travel there, which would be great. The last one is page 55 and 56. And 55 is just adding in, we're going season by season basis, depending on what our activities look like, because they can change from, as we know, day to day. But I think we can whip them out pretty quick on activity mitigations for each activity that we do, indoor, outdoor, travel, all that stuff. So I think we're pretty good at that. And there's all the activity dates for Great Checks. Every Tuesday from now till.
They have no excuse.
Yep. So now it's.
I didn't know there was one.
There they.
Appendix.
Yeah. So. Nice. Questions?
Now if you know they're Roman numerals.
Yes, exactly. That'll be a fun one. I love Roman numerals.
It's great. Okay. Don't have any?
There we go.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Very much.
Absolutely.
On to 15.6, American Rescue Plan update. Ms. KP?
I don't know that we necessarily need to look at this up here, although we could, but it's basically we talked about this during the work session. And just to give an overview and to talk a little bit publicly about it, what we have on the agenda. So the first rough plan is due June 23rd. And as we discussed during our work session, there's very specific areas that have to be addressed. There's 8 areas that need to be addressed in this mitigation plan, and it is specifically a mitigation plan. We need to address our plan and policy for masking. We need to address our plan and policy for physical distancing, hand washing, and respiratory etiquette. Love that. Cleaning and maintaining healthy facilities, including ventilation considerations. Contact tracing plans in combination with public health, local medical professionals, and state guidance. Discussions around diagnostic and screening and what that might look like, whether we're discussing more things about antigen testing or what and how much we need to do with daily screening, like we're doing this year with temperature checks and that sort of thing. There's sort of that continues to be evolving as far as the efficacy of that within a school setting. So we will see where that evolves over the summer. The CDC is still putting out guidance. It's supposed to be out in the next couple of weeks. That's going to be updated from even May, specifically for schools, and helping, I think, districts take into account local vaccination rates, local case counts, what might it look like in areas where vaccinations are available for 12 and up, what kind of percentages are reasonable for that to be loosening restrictions, what does that look like, and then same some guidance on what to do with the children ages under 12, and how to institute those protocols in our schools, and we're going to keep getting guidance from our local medical advisors and the state advisors as well. And we are required under this plan to take into consideration CDC recommendations, so that will be interesting to see how that interacts with our local numbers and our local cases and our, you know, all of that. So I think they're looking to try to give some more guidance and support for districts because, you know, for example, we're remote, as we've talked about. We're on an island. There are lots of things that we can control, and there are things that we can't. So thinking about the travel, as we've talked about before, and are there ways to look at utilizing antigen testing to help with some of that? The tricky part is, you know, the CDC guidance coming out about vaccinated individuals and non-vaccinated individuals has made it very, very challenging for schools because we're still sort of these closed, you know, communities, for lack of a better word, and people have the right to make a decision about that for their own personal lives. So navigating that's going to be challenging, I think, for all of us, but... we will see where it all plays out. I love the language in it. It's always to the greatest extent practicable. We need to consider CDC guidance and taking into consideration local health information as well. So that has to be done. That component has to be done by June 23rd. And then we also have to look at describing how we're going to ensure continuity of services. As we discussed with kids who have experienced learning loss, we need to have a plan for that. We need to look at and have an emphasis on student and staff, social, emotional, and mental health. We certainly know that there have been a lot of challenges there for students and staff and families, I would say. And then continuing to look at things within our food service program, and then all kinds of mitigation strategies. So, for example, you know, there are things that we've already made decisions about, for sure in the middle and high school, that we are not doing sort of the I'm going to call it extreme potting. I don't even know. That's what I'm calling it. Extreme potting in the middle school this year, you know, where the kids really were in a space and everybody else moved around. And I do think it was successful for the time that we needed to implement that, you know, this year. But we've already made the decision that we're, you know, we're opening some of those things up. We're allowing more movement and interaction among students in that sense. And so that may have an impact, too, on masking protocols, when and how much, and not at all, or all day, or intermittent, or, you know, whatever. I mean, we don't know where that's going to land. So, and then, you know, we do this in June, we do it again in August. We have to keep revamping it and adjusting it, and we will do that. So I think some of the discussion we had on Friday was also about that. You know, will there be some, how much of an allowance can there be for the rate of vaccination in the community as a whole, and how much do we look at that, and case counts within our own school setting. And then also just keeping in mind that the emphasis still is health and safety and also continuity of instruction. So, you know, we don't want to just literally throw it all to the wind and then have it come back and bite us and have, you know, potentially cases and more disruption. And as we know from the outbreak this spring, you know, that was hugely impactful to us. We don't have enough staff to make that continue. You know, there's a lot of things there to consider. So I think it's just keeping that in mind. We all know how we feel about this. We are definitely tired of talking about mitigation strategies and plans and protocols, for sure. But we just need to keep, we're going to have to stay the course as far as making sure that we're following good guidance and recommendations and you know, and making a good case for decisions that we are making and why we're making them. So there's going to be time for us to look at that throughout the summer and even as the school year starts. We may start a certain way. We may make adjustments within a month or two. We have lots of flexibility there. So, and we continue to learn more and more all the time. So June 23rd, that's when the basic plan is due. And then August 23rd, we have to have more details fleshed out there. And, of course, we'll already be close to school at that point. We'll have things out before August 23rd so people know what's going on. But, yeah. We did send out a survey to stakeholders, to families. We sent one to our high school students, our current 9th, 10th, and 11th graders. Gave us some good feedback there, and I shared those with the board just to look through, and then had some good feedback from our staff members as well. We have several teachers who are interested in giving us feedback throughout the summer. They don't have to, but we have several who have said, you know, we would be happy to be kind of a whatever, sounding board, advisory board, whatever, just to kind of talk through things as we get information this summer, too. I think that's about it. There's the plan that we don't have yet.
The rough draft.
The rough draft will come in June. And I think, as we talked about, I mean, just thinking, I know masking seems to be one of the biggest discussions, but at this point, I mean, I think my language that I would put into this plan for the June 23rd is to say we will take into account guidance from the CDC, as we have to, and then also from our local medical advisors as far as how we need to interpret different vaccination rates and case counts. So I think that's what I will put in there for now, to be determined, finalized as the summer progresses. So, any other thoughts or comments after that too? We talked about last Friday a bit during the work session. Or things you wanna consider?
Just for, I know, people, parents, and even teachers, school, everywhere. Mm-hmm. We are trying to get back to as normal as possible.
Yeah.
Yep. And like Erica said, it's going to constantly change. But right now, hopefully, we won't have to have masks. Maybe it'll just be a movie, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, we're trying to get back as normal as possible. That's our goal. So please be patient with us.
Yeah.
For just doing what we're being told to do.
It's a good comment. And just trying to navigate it to the best of our ability in that sense and just keep that focus. But like you said, I mean, a lot of the things that we are already making some of those adjustments already, because that was a lot of feedback we had from our kids too, and our teachers and our parents, who, you know, you want to be able to sort of have the normal-ish look to your day too. So I think it's important to just note that we are moving that direction for sure.
So, I don't know if it was Jamie for this one. I know we got sports starting in the summer. We've got kids that will be traveling and stuff. Right now, the policy, I think, if they travel, they have to not participate in activities for 5 days. And so, saying negative test, or where's that going with that?
Our activities,
don't need to.
They get to have their own plan. That's what they've had. Remember, that was this spring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So our kids don't need to test, even when that mandate was in, because of the language that we had, and we were doing the twice weekly antigen testing.
What about kids who are like a family trip, then they come back during the middle of the season? That's a sports trip. Right?
That is, and I think that's still a requirement currently under OSSA now. So if they have traveled and they come back on a Monday and practice starts on a Tuesday and they've been out of state.
And they've been out of state.
I think at this point that's still
out of state travel.
Yeah.
Yeah. The state association has that. If involved in an activity, they might change that. They're not sure yet where they're going to go. But we'll know way before cross-country starts.
Because we won't have a meeting before cross-country starts.
No. We may or may not.
But something I would imagine to help with this.
And that's a good question, though, Jay, because we've actually had that from a couple of other people, too, just thinking about as we get closer to school starting. But that's a good question about activities. At this point, the travel policy is still what it is for school.
Yeah.
I mean, and will it be adjusted? I don't know. We're going to have to get more guidance on that. That's still, you know, the recommendation is still, if you've traveled out of state, you don't just come right back to school.
Does it change if you've been vaccinated?
Vaccination rates, was a conversation that we had with our staff, and certainly I think we would extend that to students as well who are, they could show us proof of that if they want. Because that is, again, that's based on that CDC guidance. That's not Erica's rule or randomly coming out of the sky, which, you know, sometimes I get those questions.
CDC doesn't recommend testing after domestic travels, but that's OSSA's?
It's the school districts right now.
Okay.
If you go out of state.
But isn't the CDC recommendation for domestic travel is not to test or quarantine?
I don't believe that's changed, but maybe it has.
I can get you that verbiage.
Because the rules is the same, isn't it? You have to, if you go out, you still have to test?
I'm not sure of that.
Until June 30th.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's the cutoff date, June 30th.
Well, by then you would have easily been in. You're not going to even start practice till what, the 28th?
July 28th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we're going to put out big information 2 weeks before on our website and let all the kids involved in cross country know, like, what it's going to look like way before, ahead of time.
Is that domestic travel including air travel, Jay? Like commercial air travel?
I think so, yeah, I'm pretty sure that is.
Okay, wow. I'll have to reread that.
I need to reread it again, too.
Yeah.
It changes so constantly.
Oh, I know. I have it on my bookmarks up here, so, yeah. I will go back and...
I might be wrong. Completely wrong.
No, it's a good question. Believe me, it's not... you may be absolutely right on.
Great thing about cross country is they're outside.
I know.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. But if a kid's on a family trip comes back the day before the season starts.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Could we just antigen test them?
We could, yeah. And, you know, with some of the schools, a lot of it indoor, if any portion of their group comes indoor, they're gonna keep the antigen testing rolling. That was a big ticket to allow us to do a lot of stuff, was the antigen testing. And that's what made us not have to PCR at the airport on Sunday, because when they came back Monday, we were already antigen testing again on Monday. So our schedule worked perfect for the Monday, Thursday, Monday, Thursday, Monday, Thursday, every single time.
Yeah, just pulled it up.
Yeah, and it worked really good.
What
was
it saying? For fully vaccinated, it's people who are fully vaccinated with FDA-authorized vaccine. It says that delay travel until you're fully vaccinated. If you're not fully vaccinated, must travel, follow the CDC's recommendations for unvaccinated. If you're fully vaccinated, take the following steps during travel: wear a mask, blah, 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 but, and then follow your state, local recommendations and requirements after travel, such as self-monitor for symptoms. You do not need to get a test or self-quarantine if you are fully vaccinated or have recovered from COVID-19 in the past 3 months. If recommended unvaccinated people, before you travel, get a viral test 1 to 3 days before your trip. While traveling, wear a mask. Avoid crowds, stay 6 feet away, wash your hands. After you travel, get tested with a viral test 3 to 5 days after travel, and stay home and self-quarantine for a full 7 days after travel. Even if you test negative, stay home and self-quarantine for the full 7 days. If you test positive, then you isolate. If you don't get tested, stay home and self-quarantine for 10 days. Avoid being around people who are at increased risk of severe illness. Self-monitor. This is dated May 19th.
Yeah, that was the one that I think I had.
Okay.
Yeah.
Unless that's, I just went to their, I just did a search on their website.
Yeah.
But,
and we did it with basketball, where we did come back and PCR test, because we were only antigen testing one time per week.
Mm-hmm.
On that week, and then we switched the 2 week, because that was going to be the guidance for the municipality of Anchorage to attend state tournaments. That was some of the verbiage that came back from a lot of the doctors. And so the twice weekly was perfect, and it worked out tremendous. I mean, we can get through about 50 kids in about 2.5 hours, so it worked really nice. It is comforting, kind of, you know, when we had that kind of scare too, when with the wrestling tournament, we were on kind of high alert, and worked great.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, with the state policy, the testing requirement is gone. Now, the only activity that testing was mandatory was wrestling, just because of the face-to-face contact that was happening with that one. So that one was a requirement, and we had to sign a document that said, yep, they were all tested. They all tested negative before they went. But with the activity, any participant must notify our school if they are involved in any other activity because of the mixing that was happening. And then if they traveled out of state, so they would have to notify the school of eligibility that they traveled out of state.
Yep.
And that, I'm not sure if they're going to repeal that and have new guidance come out at their next meeting.
Right.
So, that's what the state requirements are.
So that will be on our list of things to consider. Yeah, because the testing requirement that we had to sign off on had to do with just the activity itself, not the travel to and from. We have to make that decision as, based on this guidance. So, and those are questions we have for our medical advisors too, about how we might be able to make more use of antigen testing possibly, and if there's ways that we can do that to either potentially decrease, maybe that's something maybe that could be discussed about quarantine, reducing quarantine times, that sort of thing, for students and staff. Those are questions I have, for medical advisors and people at DHSS as well. And the reason we had done that with those mitigation plans with activities is because we're managing them. We have to do this before you get in a cab, or you have to do this before you go to the hotel, and you're not going to be sitting in a big restaurant for 4 hours without that kind of thing. So, okay. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Next, 16, any additional comments from board members? Okay. Upcoming dates and meeting announcements.
might be having a work session in July, maybe late July, I don't know.
Probably.
Stay tuned.
I'll certainly be sending you stuff.
Future agenda items? We could probably have that.
Mm-hmm. It will be
board policy for second reading?
Mm-hmm.
Anything else we can think of?
No.
Other new business? I don't think we have anything. I'll make a motion to adjourn.
A second?
Second. Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Good night.